Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
The Sermon on the Mount is a collection of Jesus' New Testament teachings found in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5, 6, and 7, which emphasizes all of Jesus' primary messages, including the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, central principles around Christian discipleship and kingdom living. So it is a massive topic, even though it's comprised of three chapters. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from Pastor Barley next Sunday. And then we've got Pastor Trina the following Sunday. And then I've invited a couple of our young adults leaders in Tony Wanky and Chad Mueller to bring a message for about 10 minutes each. So that's going to be cool. You know, the Sermon on the Mount covers so many topics. And in fact, you know, today what I'm going to cover is the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And in these 148 verses, Jesus delivers what's been labeled as the Kingdom Manifesto, which is a public declaration of kingdom policies. It's here in the public manifesto that Jesus introduces a radical philosophy of relating to our Heavenly Father. Each of the Beatitudes has two parts. Number one, a pronouncement of blessing, and number two, a reason for that blessing. Sermon on the Mount. Allow me for a few moments to set the stage. The disciples are at the feet of Jesus, and the multitudes, the crowds, have gathered. And they're waiting in expectation to hear Jesus' first words as he steps into the public arena. Jesus is now here on earth, fulfilling all of the Old Testament prophecies as the promised Savior who would come and save the people from their sins. This is the very Son of God who would precisely reflect what God the Father is like and establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But how will Jesus begin? And what will his first words be? Let's take a look now at Gateway Word of the Week, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened up his mouth and taught him, saying," remember, this is the promised Savior. The whole world have been waiting for his arrival, and now he is about to begin to teach for the first time. And the first word that he utters is blessed. We could park right there for I don't know how long. The first words the Son of God ever spoke on planet Earth are blessed. This should reveal the heart of our Heavenly Father. He wants you and I to be blessed. But remember, each beatitude, the beatitudes are also known as beautiful attitudes, or as someone once paraphrased them, be these attitudes. Remember, each beatitude begins with a pronouncement of blessing, and number two, the reason for that blessing. And let's take a look at the order. Verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Beatitudes, the Kingdom Manifesto. You know, the word manifesto has everything to do with policies and aims. And these are the kingdom policies and aims of our Heavenly Father. Clearly, there are so many Beatitudes and so many things that we could talk about here today. But I just feel, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to speak about the first two, which are found in verses 3 and 4. You know, everything about Scripture has a purpose, and there's a reason for the divine order. And of course, the Beatitudes are no exception. You know, the first step in the process of salvation in Christ and growing in our faith is to acknowledge our true state before a holy God. Verse 3 says, "Blessed." In another version, it says, "Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, in this particular beatitude, Jesus is referring to our spiritual condition. Poverty of spirit is recognizing our insufficiency to earn God's love, grace, forgiveness, and blessings. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us more or less, for God is love, and He loves us. He loves you, He loves me, even in our worst day. No one possesses enough spiritual currency or resources to purchase or to earn God's love, grace, and blessings. Why? Firstly, because the price is way too high. Secondly, they're not for sale. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 reads, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard." We've all missed the mark. The second step in the process of salvation in Christ and growing in our faith is found in verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, upon gaining a clearer understanding of our sinful condition and fallen nature, we must then repent of our sins. You know, to mourn in this context is to grieve. It's an emotion expressed over the loss of something personal. It's not enough just to know about our sinful nature. We must be accountable and do something about it. Repentance is to turn around. It means to make a U-turn. It's the action of sincere regret and remorse over our own behavior. And so just real quick, you know, I remember when the Lord began to first draw me to Himself, okay? The Holy Spirit began to speak to me and convict me of things, and yet I hadn't yet repented. I hadn't yet asked God for His forgiveness in my life. And so I came to have a personal revelation of Jesus at the age of 20. I was even asked this question yesterday by a young couple and about my own salvation journey. And, you know, on the outside, everything was going really well, right? On the outside, it looked really good. Most of you would know I was pursuing an AFL football career, locally, but then went to Melbourne and was playing with Collingwood. And, you know, I don't want to talk about the 1-point win last night over West Coast Eagles. Something funny about that, actually, like the game last night, I was so excited about the game and it was a really good game, but I fell asleep halfway through the third quarter. Yeah, so I fell asleep, woke up about 12:30, and I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder what the score was. And I found out we won by a point. And I know that everyone is just very interested in learning about that. So, but, you know, I was pursuing a footy career and living the dream and And, you know, I know this makes you laugh. It makes me laugh too. You know, I was a DJ for a couple of years. Thought life was all about just going from one relationship to the next and driving nice cars and whatever. And but every time I kind of, what I thought was kind of leveling up the ladder of success, something very different was happening on the inside of me. So every time I felt like I was stepping up and achieving my goal, I sort of like plummeted to a new depth of despair, thinking, what's going on? I should be happy. I'm living the dream. But something very different was happening on the inside. You see, what was actually happening is that I began to realize that the things of this world did not satisfy. And I began to become more and more aware of my poverty of spirit. I became more aware that something, I don't know what it is, I'm like, I can't define this, but there is a gross like deficiency with inside of me. It's like everything I reach out to touch, even though I can sort of tangibly hold it, it's like Ecclesiastes says, it's like grasping for the wind. It actually does not have anything tangible to it that satisfies me on the inside, until I came to that place where I acknowledged my poverty of spirit, right? And I began to mourn over that, and then came to my senses and believed that Jesus was my Lord, my Savior, the forgiver of all my sins, and then Jesus filled the void. A Sunday school teacher once asked the question to her class. She asked, "What is repentance?" One child said, "It means that you're sorry for something that you did." Another said more accurately, "It means that you're sorry enough to quit. It means that you're sorry enough to do something about it." You know, when it comes to sorrow, sometimes people are sorrowful because they got caught. "I'm sorry," they say, "because I got caught." But really what the kind of, and that's called human sorrow. But spiritual sorrow is what it says here in the Beatitudes. It's to mourn over the state of my own heart, but it's not to stay there, because the Bible promises that blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The promise is, blessed are they who mourn, happy and to be envied are they who mourn, because you don't stay in that place. The promise and the blessing is that you're comforted. So who comforts us? Our loving Heavenly Father, because you know what? He knows our true state anyway. He knows we're deficient. It's the reason why He came. He knows that sin is an unseen issue. It's a spiritual cancer that eats away at our life, and He's come to heal us and to mend the broken heart. And so to mourn over our sin is to express the right kind of sorrow. And once again, the promise to spiritual mourners is the comforting presence, power, and embrace of a loving God. Genuine grief, hear this, genuine grief over the state of our own hearts ignites God's love and grace and forgiveness, which brings about a purifying of our own hearts, clarity of mind, and freedom for the captive. In John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus declared that He didn't come to condemn the world, but so that the world would be saved. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 says, His kindness leads us to repentance. And even though verses 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 5 really is, to begin with, talking about salvation, right? Again, I came into a whole new level of awareness of my poverty of spirit. I mourned over that and then responded accordingly. But I can't tell you how many times I've repeated that process over the years. We're going to come around communion today, and I would just invite the stewards to come, and if you're happy to receive the elements, they are packaged, by the way, and so at the right time, I'll invite you to unpack those. Everyone, by the way, is welcome to partake in communion, providing you are happy to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. I want to share with you a very, very inspiring story, because we've already looked at the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus begins his ministry, right? His public ministry. Well, a photographer by the name of Joel Meyerowitz saw more than he could ever have imagined on that terrible day in September 2001 concerning the Twin Towers, which we know today as 9/11. But nearly a year after, while he was documenting Ground Zero, a firefighter approached him with something unusual in his hand. Let's go to that picture. So this is like Ground Zero, the base of the Twin Towers there. And as you can see, circled is a man. And it just gives you a little bit of perspective of, you know, the size of, you know, Ground Zero. I think that you can see there, it would be quite difficult, wouldn't it, to really find anything of that was still together, anything of great value. Well, something supernatural and miraculous took place because a firefighter gave Joel, this photographer, something that he was not expecting. And that something was a Bible. This particular Bible was forever bookmarked on a particular page. And out of all the pages of the Bible that could have been bookmarked, it fell on one particular page found in Matthew chapter 5 concerning the Sermon on the Mount. So before I go to the photo, this particular Bible had become, you know, because of the heat of everything that would have happened on that particular day, this Bible became infused within molten steel. The steel had melted to the point that it wrapped itself around the Bible and on a particular page. And let's have a look at that photo right now. That Bible is embedded in hard steel. Of all the pages that it could have fell on, it reads, Retaliation is the heading. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I've never used that word ever, twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and I'm only reading out the old King James because that's what's there. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And as we come around communion today, another beatitude states, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm just wondering today, both on site and online, is there anyone that we need to show mercy to? Is there anyone that we need to forgive? Because as much as we desire to be forgiven, the Bible states in the Sermon on the Mount that we must forgive not only one another, others, like I'm talking outside of the local church. Furthermore, we must also forgive ourselves. That is also something that we are called to do. Forgive yourself and move on. I want to invite you to stand in the presence of the Lord today. And there's a couple of things that we're going to do today, because as we partake of the elements, and in case you don't know, the wafer there represents the broken body of Jesus. The juice represents the blood of Jesus. And because we're going to ask God for forgiveness, we're also going to ask Him to be our Lord and our Savior. Okay? This is an opportunity for all of us, both on site and online, to get our lives right before Him. Jesus declared that He has not come to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved. This is all a bit new, isn't it? Packaged communion elements. yeah, usually we've just provided them, you know, the wafer, and, you know, we'd go to the various stations, and but now we have packaged communion elements. I hope it's all going okay there. So I want to invite, I want to invite each and every one of you to pray a prayer after me, and then we're going to partake together, okay? So you would only pray this prayer because you want to ask God for forgiveness. This would be the only reason why you would want to pray this prayer, because you want to ask Him for forgiveness. But furthermore, not only do you want your sins forgiven, but you, to the best of your ability, you want to quit those sins, turn away from those sins, and turn all the more to following Jesus. And so pray after me. Dear Father in heaven, I humble myself this day and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Purify me and cleanse my heart. Heal me and help me to be the person you've created me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you now to just take the elements when you're ready. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the presence and for the power of the Holy Spirit. I just pray for all of those who are partaking here today on site. And I pray for all of those online. I thank you for your presence and for your power in their life. I really do believe, Lord, that there are many who are watching right now, who are listening right now. And Lord, they're coming into a personal encounter with you. I pray, Lord, that you would meet them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, for something new to begin in everyone's life in Jesus' name. Lord, we understand that you've created us a triune being. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. And I thank you, Lord God, that the most important element to our triune being is to get our hearts, our spirit right. For blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn over the state of their own heart, their life, their addictions, their struggles, whatever it might be, for they shall be comforted in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.